an AppleVis original.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to AppleVis Unleashed for April 2024. I am Thomas Domville, also known as Synonymous, your host here for today's show. Along here, I have my co-host over here with John Gassman. He has returned back from a hiatus in March. How are you, John?
Doing fine, and I even got some tax money back this year, which was nice. So everything is good.
I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Wow. So here in the States, every year we have the income tax filing, which is due in April, and we never know. It's a roll of the dice. So you got money back coming back. That's awesome.
It really means a lot more, especially now that I'm retired, because every little bit helps now. So
right. And I guess you have been traveling, too. You've been gotten your traveling shoes on.
Yeah, I did a little bit of traveling to a radio convention and to CSUN, of course, last month. And in July, I'll be doing the ACB convention in Florida and staying over for a few days and get a chance to try out my new Zoom Essential. So I've done that already, but I'll do a little more of it while I'm there at the convention. So it's a good technology opportunity.
Where is that going to be held this year? In Florida.
The ACB one is in Jacksonville. The NFB, I think, is... I can't remember where the NFB was. It's also in Florida, but I can't remember which city.
Doggone it. You're not close enough to Orlando. I mean, I suppose you are. You're pumping.
No, we're coming back to Orlando because that's where we're flying in and out of. So if I can get theme park reservations booked for Disney World, because I still need to use them as a cast member or a former cast member. So if I can get those books, then I hope to be able to spend maybe a day at Epcot and a day Animal Kingdom and who knows.
You got to do it, John. You got to do it. So when is that going to be held in? That's in June, you said?
That's in July. So after the convention finishes, I mean, the last day of the convention, we have a tour to the Space Center, which I'm looking forward to.
Oh, yeah.
And then probably we're going to go back to Orlando with friends and I hope to be able to sign them into Disney World for a couple of days. So
I hope you do too.
Yeah.
And let's bring in our other co-host is Mr. Mike Malarzy. How you doing, Mike?
Wonderful. It's good to be here. How are you guys?
Wonderful, man. It's good to have you on. And I have been able to convince Mike to get a Vocaster. So he is on his Vocaster. It has been a nightmare for both of us to get everything set up the way we want. It's still kind of hit and miss.
We've been learning a lot. We'll put it that way. We've been learning a lot of new stuff.
I thought about you, Mike. I saw this. Somebody has made this AI, this robot that follows you around. We've had this discussion many times before. But what made this one a little bit different, Mike, I thought it was hilarious. This one, actually, you can get an add-on for this particular robot. You can get a flamethrower on it, and you can operate it through your phone, through your app. So I'm thinking to myself, why would anybody need a flamethrower on a robot?
That's my first question.
Maybe to clear your path, maybe to mow your yard instead of just cutting it, it just burns it off.
Yeah, that's my only like practical application, because there's a lot of farm country around here. I mean, I'm in Idaho. And that, I'm sure, would be handy for a lot of clearing the canals out, irrigation systems, things like that.
You,
sure,
you could get a side job as a member of the fire department, I guess, if you had a big enough flamethrower.
Controlled burns out there. But can you imagine, though, the liability? Like, okay, guys, look, we understand it's 2024, but we have this guy that's blind with a flamethrower on a robot running around the fields. What are we... Like, I don't even want to know what the insurance company is going to think of that. So,
I know. I was just thinking, what? And possibly, I guess it could use for firefighting to do control burn, like you said. But I was just thinking, oh my gosh, I got to tell Mike about this.
And if they start selling them at Walmart, that's a problem.
Right? Oh, man. So let's go ahead and kick this off or see what's new in Apple News for April. And the first one up is obviously Apple has an event coming, which I did not see coming, up to May 7th. So it's time to let loose. I love the naming that they give these events, you know. Let loose. What is that going to be all about? That's what I'm trying to figure out. That's kind of every time it has to do with something. So what do you guys think about let loose?
Well, it's hard to know for sure because we're only guessing at what might happen. But, you know, it's another opportunity for Apple to get in front of the limelight, become part of the limelight and make an announcement. Whether it'll be a major announcement or not, I guess we'll have to wait and see. But
right. Well, it appears that, you know, we were talking about this several months back, and we thought the spring event would be like, you know, February or March. And one of the things that never came out was the iPads. And since the iPad has not been updated for over a year, I was surprised that they hadn't announced anything. So I guess they're going to let loose with the iPads. And what I can't figure out, what exactly are they letting loose? I guess they're letting loose a new iPads, I suppose, but the iPad Pro with the two different size models, and as we predicted, the iPad Air with two different model sizes as well. Interestingly, that not only is it the first time we get two different sizes for the iPad Air, if that is to be true, and when this comes out of the event, the iPad Pro is now going to be OLED-based, and so I was like, whoa, that's pretty enhanced. Now, some people are reporting that the M4 chip will be in those. And I'm thinking that just doesn't make any sense because M3 is still the one that's out now. M4 doesn't really come out until this fall. So I don't understand why some people are reporting the M4 on that. I don't think that's going to be the case. But no doubt, it's been kind of a sore spot for iPad. You know, the sales have been real low because there hasn't been any new models. So fortunately, we'll have some new models to look at. So May 7th, keep that on your calendar. Check back on AppleViz and see what that event is all about. But nonetheless, I love the namings they do. So let loose.
I've been seeing stuff just as of today of our recording, more rumors. It does seem like the rumor mill's really turning up lately. There's been a lot of it. But a lot of talk about the Apple Pencil. And like, there's people saying that this event is going to be like a little more geared toward that. I don't know.
I've
never actually messed with an Apple Pencil. I don't know how. I mean, I don't know why anyone would. Like, in my situation, I don't know why I would. But I don't know. I'm curious to see.
You're right.
I have no clue.
Supposedly, the Apple Pencil is supposed to be what, the 3.0, and it's supposed to have some haptic feeling, which I don't think the pencils have ever had haptic, and it's supposed to introduce some new gestures. I've always wanted to try these pencils just to see if we could do voiceover gestures with those, and I just never have tried to see if that would work in that way, but nonetheless, it is exciting to have haptic, though. That would be kind of cool to have your pencil.
Maybe I could practice my handwriting, too. My kids always give me crap. Anytime I sign my name, they're like, wow, Dad. I'm like, guys, I don't write with pencils very often, okay? Here we go. Maybe I'll practice.
Right? Seems like everything you have to do with your fingers is always DocuSign or something. Yeah, write with your finger here. And it's like, oh, okay, I'll just scribble, scribble, scribble. I don't know what I'm writing. You have that problem too, John?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I hate the DocuSign stuff for the most part with your finger. Just, you know. But that's where things are going today, so you have to find a way to make it work.
Mm-hmm. Well, nonetheless, it's going to be interesting. I agree with you, Mike. It'll be interesting about the Apple Pencil. I think I'm more excited about the Apple Pencil than I am with the iPad, so always curious about that. Now, last month, John, you missed out on this big old conversation, so we get to regroup here because there's been some development with the VoiceDream Reader situation. I don't know how you want to call this, but the developers have backed down. So here's the story. There's a backstory is that originally the VoiceDream Reader used to be owned by Winston Chan, and he used to own the VoiceDream Reader, and that is like the go-to app for a lot of people that are in the blind community for a lot of reason, and rightfully so. So the problem is that it was purchased out by an investor company, and they kind of took over it, and they originally said that it was going to be free for all those that have already purchased in the past. And then a year later, which is this year, they came out to say, well, we have to make some changes and everybody's going to be under subscription payment. So you had to be forced to a subscription plan in order to continue to use VoiceDream Reader. Well, obviously, as you heard last month, that was a mess. It was a major debacle and an uproar through the blind commuting. And I think in the end, Mike and I were just kind of mixed on it because we felt that on one hand that they need to make money. And if they can't get the money they want, you know, it could possibly belly up and Voice Dream Reader would be gone forever. So we just kind of like, we understood, but we didn't like how they approached it. I didn't like how the whole thing came out. I think it could have been handled differently, and I think they could have done things differently, period. Anyway, they backed down. So for all that have purchased it in the past, do not have to have the subscription model anymore. However, in saying that, any new feature from this point and on, anything that comes to Voice Dream Reader, if you want to take advantage of those new features, you'll have to subscribe into those subscription payments. Otherwise, you can use the Voice Dream Reader as is, as it always has been. So, over to you, John, since you were gone last month, what is your thought about this whole mess?
Well, I think the new investors made a huge mistake because they promised that everything was going to be free. And you can't go back on your promise like that. I think most blind people would have no problem paying for new features with a subscription because they're familiar with that. But if the new investors had just kept it that way, I don't think anybody would have had a problem with it. But, you know, fortunately, they caught a lot of flack for it and reversed their decision, which is really the correct thing to do. Whether they'll make enough money on a subscription basis, I don't know. I guess it depends on what the new products are, what they come out to, you know, what a value they have for people, blind or sighted. And if they give people good product, they'll subscribe as long as the fees aren't too hefty. So I think if you find value in it, you should support it because that's how they make their money. That's how they make their development. And from this point forward, we'll just have to see. Blind people, for the most part, are pretty tight-fisted with money. So I think if they see a value in it, they'll subscribe. Whether it'll be enough to allow the investors to continue, I don't know. I hope so because it's a good product. People have had a lot of good things to say about it over the years. So as long as they remain consistent with the value, then they should be okay.
What do you think, Mike? Any changes?
It's a good compromise because it's not screwing over the people that supported them early before all this happened. But at the same time, I mean, everybody knows that this is subscriptions is where the world is going. So I think this is a fair thing. Like, hey, everyone keep what you paid for already, but new stuff, you're going to have to pony up for it. That's just having everything's subscriptions nowadays. I'm surprised like Windows itself isn't yet. I say that, but hopefully that never happens, but I think that's just kind of how everything is. I think this is the most fair way to go about it.
You know, I have to think, and I think a lot of people will agree on this, is that originally when they kind of were talked to in various interviews that I've heard with a developer, they didn't seem to want to back down at all. They just felt like this was the right thing for them and this is what the approach. I think what really changed the tune is that there was some mention of that they broke the Apple App Store guidelines and rules. And I think that's more to what really happened because I think they were probably not unsure and they were kind of taken back by that. They probably didn't realize they were breaking a certain rule. And that could have just been bad for all of us. I mean, they could have just closed it down or pulled the app or whatever not. So I have to say a little bit of that had to play plus a backlash, but I think that was more to play here, unfortunately. I don't know that for a fact, but it's just my gut feeling just hearing their original interviews, how they were not really, I don't know, I just didn't feel like they were that sympathetic. They understood, but I get it. At the end of the day, they got to feed their own family mouth. They got to have their own money and stuff like that. You know, this is not the first time. I mean, I use an app called Lyre. You guys use Lyre?
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you guys recall that we purchased that app and they came out with a brand new major version of Lyre and we had to repay and buy it again? Now, that's not the only app I've dealt with that. Ferrite is another. So there was a Ferrite 2.0 that I purchased for a good amount of money. And then Ferrite 3.0 came out and that did a similar situation. It's like if you want to take advantage of the 3.0, you'll have to purchase a new update to take advantage of that. Otherwise, you can keep your 2.0. My fear is that I noticed that the updates for Voice Dream Reader has been drop dramatically, because right before this whole thing happened, there was a lot of updates. They were fixing a bunch of things, adding a few things, and then this all happened, and then it just like stopped all of a sudden. So it makes me wonder what they are thinking about. Maybe they just felt like, all right, we'll just put the right flag up, and if it bellies up, then it bellies up. Yeah, hopefully it doesn't, but I'm not saying it will or won't. It's just something to think about. I fear that I wonder how they will update the version that we have now that is free compared to the new version. So we'll see. And at some point, I would think that the new version will replace the old, and there will be no old. So I don't know.
Yeah. That's what I do think that if long term, it's not necessarily a sustainable solution. People are sooner or later going to get forced into it, probably.
Yes.
Because, I mean, everybody knows sympathy is a terrible business model. These people are trying to run a company here, so they aren't going to do what everyone wants, which I'm sure if we were to ask everybody, and this isn't even just about this app, this is just in general, I'm sure everyone would love more stuff for free, but that's not how the world works. Mars Edit is a program that I use on my Mac all the time. That similar thing that you were just talking about, Thomas. Every time they come out with a new update, I buy the new update at a discounted rate because I bought the last one. Mm-hmm. But they are constantly updating it. The features are great. It's a fantastic program. I have no issue doing that. So when it comes to this, so this isn't one, VoiceStream is not one that I personally use. But if they want people to back them, then they need to have a product worth backing.
I'm just thinking out loud. This is not what's may or may not happen. I really think at some point they're going to do that. They're going to put a brand new version out and they're going to do just that. You can keep your old version. We're not going to be updating that version anymore. Keep it as long as you want. If you have any issues with it, good luck. But this is a new version.
Sorry,
this is going to be this cost.
On iOS 20.
Right. I have a thought and prediction that's going to happen at some point. I'm not saying anytime soon, but if they come out with some pretty big, significant updates, I think that might be the direction. What are your thoughts, John, on that before we wrap this particular subject up?
I completely agree. And I think it will happen probably with the next major iOS update. And I don't know whether you would call 18 a major iOS update. We'll find out in June, I guess. I agree. There will come a time when they're going to have to just distance themselves from the old one and come up with a brand new one. And at that point, it'll be a lot easier to start the subscription model because you get what you pay for.
Right. Well, that we will have to see, and I'm sure this is not going to be the end of that story. This next one, again, I'm thinking Mike again. I don't know why, but if you have been following this podcast for a number of years, you probably have heard that we talked every so often about the Apple Car and how awesome an idea would be for those that are blind. Wouldn't that be awesome to have a truly autonomous car that can take us from point A to point B and whatever not? But sad thing is that Apple decided to ditch the project. Sorry for the pun, you ditch a car. Anyway, they decided, and now supposedly some of those people have been put onto a new project. Now, I don't know how much to believe into this, but I thought it was worth mentioning, is that they were considering and creating a Apple robot. Same thing that you will be followed around by a little robot that would be your little personal assistant and stuff. And I was like, wow, I would love a personal assistant, little robot like that. If it did a lot of things, I could take advantage of. Now, I couldn't possibly think of one, but can you imagine the cost for something like this? If we thought the Vision Pro was expensive, can you imagine what an Apple robot would be?
No way. Especially if it works as well as Siri and has a flamethrower.
I'm
not bringing that in my house.
No, same thing. I think a robot can, a Siri and Alexa would be a great bonfire opportunity.
Oh man, yeah, you're right, it would go up in flame. But hey, what if it had a little, like, I think Mike, you remember how you said you put a little HomePod on top of that baby?
Yeah.
So you just follow you around, you have your little stereo, your little boombox of following
just
around,
music everywhere you go. We would end up with one of those, like, it's almost like a robot horror movie where every night you wake up and your Echo devices have all been dismembered across the house. And
if they update all the, if they update those things with AI, then that might be something to take a look at. But But, you know, we're still a ways away from that, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's funny. Yeah,
considering
wake up and all
the
your
article
echoes.
Did mention a dishwashing, like, robot kind of assistant, and they can't even figure that out. So they
there
can't clean dishes. We still have some ways to go.
Well, you know, the flamethrower might come in handy to clear the path for you. You know how there's always people in front of you. You got your cane out.
Yeah,
it's like,
that's true. That's true.
You could just have your robot going in front and you're just flamethrowing everybody in the path. So sorry. So it's just worth a mention, but I guarantee this is going to be in the category of Apple vaporware, that just like the Apple Car and their charging pad. Remember that. So it will go in one of their vaporware cemetery, I'm sure.
Yeah,
of it, so.
I would love a tour of the whatever section of the Apple headquarters is where they just test weird ideas that never see the light of day. I would love mm-hmm. to go around in there.
The research development, mm-hmm. that would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? To see all the things that never will come to life, but
that.
It'd be fun, right? Let's talk about the latest hardware news for that we have heard for this month when it comes to rumors and the latest news on devices. And the first up we always like to talk about are the new iPhones that are coming up this part of the year, which is the iPhone 16. Now, in particular, we've talked about in the past, there's a couple that have come up, and it sounds like it is going to be there for sure. And that is, number one, the 16 Pro model lines are indeed are going to get a bigger size still. So that seems to be on course. And I still can't believe this. Oh my gosh, I am not going to like this at all. I mean, I like my phone. I think it's a little big for my case, and I will hold my wife's Max every so often, and it's just huge, and it's supposed to get bigger. But my wife is totally ecstatic. She's totally excited that it's supposed to get a little bigger. So that seems to be on track for larger iPhone Pro model lines. And the other thing, if you remember, I mentioned about the capture button. That's going to be mostly for video shooters and things like that. That's going to snap your video turned on, and that seemed to be still it. Now, a couple of other things has resurfaced this month, and I was like, I totally forgot about this. Was discussed last year's for the i15 models and never came to surface, and that is the solid state button. So all the buttons are no longer going to be a real button. There's going to be a tactic feeling that feels like a button, but I don't know. I can't see this coming through at all, but that seemed to have resurfaced. And I know that we talked about this in the past. I don't know, guys. I mean, can you imagine? First of all, your case will have to be all open because you can't have the covered of your buttons anymore, because you have to sense your body temperature, or warm body temperature, to be able to alleviate the buttons. And so, I don't know, what do you guys think about going back to the solid state button, everything? I mean, I understand it would make it a lot more waterproof and water resistant. It's probably their point that they're wanting to drive in.
I don't know, for me, as long as it still works and I can use it, I don't really care one way or the other, you know?
Okay, so if that doesn't bother you, it would be kind of a cool haptic touch when you press the volume up.
You can probably minimize that, I'm sure, in settings if you don't want all of the haptics.
Okay. What about you, Mike? Are you still for the solid state buttons?
I kind of, yes, but that's mostly because I hate having cases on my phone already.
That's true.
So I have one right now, but I don't usually. I don't know. I guess it's 50-50 depending on what I'm doing with my day. But I would love to just have no case and just have solid state buttons and just make the phone as durable. That'd be sweet. But that's not going to stop scratches, things like that. I feel like we'll have conversations, and if this does happen in a couple of years, about button replacement programs and stuff like that. But I'm open to the idea.
Right. I'm kind of for it. I really am. I am looking forward to it. I know that people are probably going to roll their eyes, but I really like the haptic feeling. I know some people do not. But I really love when they did that with the Touch ID, you know, how they did away with the button. And it still felt like there was a button there. And you really didn't know that it wasn't there until it was turned off. So I guess, you know, to make it more water resistant, check. And the second one is that if you are really using your buttons a lot, I know that certain buttons will get worn out. It doesn't work as great, so you wouldn't have that issue either. There's just some advantage and there's some disadvantage, you know. There's some people are saying, you know, and I think we mentioned this before, it's like, man, how do we do a hard reset when the phone is frozen up? There's no buttons to hold down. If it doesn't respond to the haptic, then yeah, there's just a few things that are still in question like that I never really thought about. It's like, I don't know.
They'd have to come up with some other kind of solution. I can tell you one thing that would seal the deal for me, make it a hard yes, if there was a setting where I could make my volume work like a dial instead of a button. I just want to slide my finger up or down on that, on the buttons, instead of having to push. I just want to swipe. I love that.
Yeah.
But that's a very specific me thing.
Right. That's like the old fashioned analog dial. And, you know, we miss those days.
That's
now you got these, right? I don't think that's ever coming, my man. I hate to say that. But the other thing they're talking about in the iPhone 15 Pro Max is already at a minimum, comes with a base 256 gig storage. And supposedly the iPhone 16 Pro is now going to be at a 256 gig storage minimum base. That's interesting. You know, I realized they had to increase the price somewhere, but I don't know. I just thought Apple could take a little bit of a hit, but last year they increased everything about $100 more. And one of the things that they gave to the Max users to feel a little more comfortable that they're shelling out $1,200 is that, well, we'll give you some more storage. And I'm thinking, yeah, I bet the storage didn't cost them anything, but especially if it's $100 more. So I'm glad to see the iPhone 16 Pro is considering getting to 256. Now, I don't even use that nearly the amount, so I don't know what good that would be for a general user. So I don't think any of us use all of our 128 gig. Do you guys?
No, I don't.
I didn't think so.
I do, actually.
Oh.
But that's mostly because I don't have to care about it. I think Overcast, which is my podcast app of choice, I have like 500 and something podcasts I haven't even listened to yet. I just have tons and tons and tons of stuff downloaded. I don't know why.
So you have it downloaded.
Including the one that we're doing now, right?
Yes, I do. And same thing with Audible. I've got books that I finished like last year that are still just there. Like I just have enough space that I just don't manage it at all. And I think I have, if I were to check, probably have 170 gigs worth of stuff.
Okay. I retract everything I say. Well, geez, so how much iCloud storage you got going then? You buy just enough to cover all that, or you just
99 cents a month?
That is what? That's only 50 gig, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do with the other 100 gig? They don't make it?
No.
You go under iCloud and made all the settings like, nope, I don't want backup Audible. Nope, I don't want any backup of Overcast.
No, Overcast is the only one. It just backs that up. And then when I get a new device, it just re-downloads them again. Like it doesn't, but I have like photo sync all shut off. I used to share it with my children, but they have no clue how to manage anything. So after I did upgrade to the 200 gig plan for a while, but then I finally just kicked all my kids off of it and dropped it back down to the 50 gig because they don't know what they're doing. I tried explaining it. I told them it was got to a final straw. I was like, guys, if you cannot manage this on your own, you're going to lose your backups. And they're like, whatever, Dad. And I said, okay, fine.
Dad, I need all these photos.
They've noticed.
I need all these photos and all these games. I don't want to lose any of it.
Uh-huh. Two teenage girls, the amount of photos being taken is,
right?
I can't afford to back their photos up.
Oh, God. Okay. I take back everything I said. There are a few out there that probably use every bit of ounce of the storage and probably would be very welcoming to the 256.
Sure. That's what I usually buy anyway.
Oh, so you do have a 256 now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Just because I don't ever want to have to worry about space.
Man, so you at some point when you fill that up, you're going to have to get the 512.
Yikes. That's just when, I don't know.
I don't know, John. Hopefully. I'm pretty happy with 128, and I'm kind of religious. I have an OCD problem when it comes to like keeping things clean and maintained and in order.
Yeah, and I have the 128, but I keep most of my stuff on my computer at home because I don't really need it when I'm out and about that much. And I don't have my photos backed up. I just put them on my computer and keep them in folders there. And same thing with podcasts, because I do all my editing on my PC. So I don't have a lot of that stuff on my phone. I guess if I were, you know, if I were going to be away from home for the next 3 years, then I would. But right now I'm not. So I don't worry too much about it.
True. I think if I was a Mac user, then I would definitely have like a terabyte plan for my computer and my phone. That would make more sense. And that's probably because I do use Microsoft OneDrive, because I do have a Microsoft 365 subscription that comes with a 1 terabyte.
Same here.
And so I use OneDrive for everything. So if anything that's hogging up my phone, I just move it over to OneDrive and I can still access it anywhere I want. So, well, that's all right. Now, here is a nice one for those that are really interested in the new upcoming iPhone SE. So I know there's a lot of you that love your SE, and it seems like it's still on track. It's for next year, early spring, the 2024 model or edition. And it seems like this, it's the same rumors coming out and out. And I when I start to hear that a lot of people are starting to jive together, like they totally agree with it, it seems like that is what it seems like it's going to be. So it seemed to start to align. All the planets are aligning in order. And here is what I have heard for your new SE for next year. So it's going to be kind of a Frankenstein phone version, which I will explain in a moment. So if you're looking at the front facing of your SE 2024, it's going to look just like your iPhone 13. So you're going to have the Face ID. Unfortunately, folks, that is still seem to be the thing. I think you will lose your Touch ID. I am pretty convinced of that. I am like 99% sure the Touch ID will be gone. So your front face is going to be like the iPhone 13. So you're going to have the Face ID. There's no Touch ID anywhere on the device anymore. And the reason they picked the 13 is because you're using kind of an older display, got a thicker, up the top there, that little notch that they call it. So it's not going to be streamlined like the newer ones are. Not that's going to make any difference for us that are blind, but nonetheless, I think the big thing is the Face ID. Now, the back facing of the device, I keep hearing that it's going to be like the iPhone XR, where they had a single camera lens. I think that's going to stay as is, because right now the SE has a single camera lens, and that's how they keep the cost down. And the processor is going to be identical to the iPhone 15. Now, before you get all crazy about that, because I'm thinking, no, it's not the iPhone 15 Pro processor. So essentially, it's the iPhone 14 Pro processor. But nonetheless, it's still a beast. And so I think that's probably going to be the best part of the device, is that processor itself. It's going to be larger. I think a lot of people are going to be bummed about this too. I think the top two things that people are going to be disappointed with the new SE is, one, no more Touch ID, and number two, it's bigger. So it's going to be quite a bit bigger. So it's going to be the standard 6.1 that most of the devices are now. And so it's going to take at that chassis and going to stay at the same size. So I thought that was big, and it's going to be that size. And gosh, if I want to get a new Pro, it's going to be bigger. But anywho, that is pretty much the SE news I've heard. Nothing has really changed. I know none of us are SE users, but I still think that is a great phone for the price that you're getting.
That I definitely agree with. If you're the sort of person, and I kind of find myself a little more in this category, that you just don't need or have an interest or simply, I guess, can't afford like the latest and the greatest, but you just want an iPhone that works, this is the one.
Right. What do you think, John?
I agree. And, everybody's got their own needs. So if that's what you're looking for, take advantage of it.
Right. It's a budget-friendly device that if you don't have the chain, or if you, I totally get it. You want to save some money and you still want an Apple device, this is a great device. I think this new SE 2024 is definitely going to be the one. I know a lot of people are looking forward to it because the older device is getting dated, and so this is going to be perfect timing for that. You know, I kept saying 2024, so I have to change. It's going to be 2025 in spring, folks, not this spring of this year. Wait a minute, this is 23. uh, Yes, it is 2024, isn't it, guys? Okay.
It sure is.
Yeah, I know. Tom is just really, I don't know where my, okay. So 2025 spring is when this is supposed to come out. By that time, it'll be, I think, 3 years since the last SC, so it's overdue, and I know some people probably have the previous version before that, so it's going to be even further. I think that's about 5 years at that point. So nonetheless, it's going to be a great update, but I got a feeling that a lot of people are going to be really upset about the Touch ID going away. So I get it. I had the same feeling when I first got my Face ID, but I love it now. It doesn't really faze me.
Yeah. Got used to it. This will be a phone I end up buying for kids. Because right now, I only have two kids with a phone, so they just get hand-me-downs from the adults. But eventually, the kids are going to outnumber the adults. So this is the phone that the newer kids, the younger kids, are going to start getting.
It is kind of a perfect device, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Perfect for the little ones.
Right. I haven't really thought of that. And it's just probably in the right price range. And you still want them to have a good quality phone. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Good idea. What else is going to go happen in hardware news for this year? So they are still talking about the M4 chips coming out this fall. A lot of discussions that all the Mac line is going to get an overhaul in terms of the M4 chip is going to be a big deal. Apparently, that's going to have AI processors in this M4, which thus is going to make a lot of changes to the Mac line. So be prepared for that. Now, what's interesting about the M4 chip with the AI processor in them and allows you to do all these AI things along with your Mac is that Apple was talking about and been rumored that they are making in-house servers for their AI. So these chips are generally high-end GPU, video cards, things like that to run these AI servers. And so it sounds like they want to make their own AI processors for handling these AI calls and services for their own people. So in other words, in short, it sounds like they're trying to build a back end that will handle all the AIs for us and using Apple technology only. So they're not going to be buying chips out house. So it's that just shows you that Apple is continuing to innovate their own hardware and equipment internally. So I thought that was quite interesting.
It kind of surprises me. And maybe this is my misunderstanding of the situation, but I'm thinking of all these conversations we keep having about the EU right now. What happens when someone decides, Apple, you need to let the consumer choose what AI powers their life instead of just the Apple one out of the box.
I haven't really thought about that, Mike. And well, I hadn't right.
until this very moment. It might never happen, but it's kind of happened with a lot of other services that Apple provides.
Right. And there's no doubt. You're probably right. At some point, they're going to probably come out with their own AI services that you can only use AI. So, I mean, yeah, I would think the EU will have a situation where you need to let other companies with their own AI take over and be able to be used. Yeah. Wow. I didn't even think of that.
We'll see.
We'll see, definitely. But AI is definitely going to be kind of a thing to watch for the next couple of years on Apple and what they end up doing. So let's go to the software, what we can expect in software coming up very shortly. iOS 18 is going to be due out for beta testing in June. So I am really looking forward to this, but I have been doing some thinking ever since I've kind of wrote all this stuff up. But let's talk about some of the new things we can expect in iOS 18 that we have heard about so far. And even though a lot of these are vague information as in what exactly, and it seems like a couple of years ago, there were leaks coming out everywhere. We knew exactly what was coming out and what it was going to be looking like. But last year, it seems like it gotten really tight, and this year is no exception. So we're hearing some leaks, yes, but in terms of what kind of new things, that is what is to remain to be seen. Some of the things like the screen design is going to stay as the same. A lot of people were talking about how it's going to be a whole new display, and it's going to look like more of the Vision Pro OS. That doesn't seem to be it. It seems like what we have now is what we are going to be used to, and nothing has changed there. However, The home screen changes is still coming. The customization, I think we talked about this, Mike, last month, how you will be able to put spaces and row spaces in between the app icons. So I'm not real keen about that. I'm sure those with vision will love that, or maybe there's some people that want to do Touch Explorer and they have issues of finding a particular icon that might help them, especially for our low vision folks that can kind of separate each other a little better for them to see. But those that are blind with voiceover, we'll see. I still think that's going to come. We obviously know the better communication, new SMS technology that will allow us to do more rich communication with our Android fans. We're still going to deal with the green and blue bubbles, so I don't know about that. However, some new stuff came out this month. They are talking about an overhaul of some of the internal apps, such as Notes. Notes is a big one that they are talking about maybe moving the voice memo into Notes itself. I was like, that is an interesting move. I have never really used voice memo. I use another app. Do you guys ever use voice memos?
I have consistently, no. But other than occasionally, randomly, like something's happening, but I don't record off my phone very often.
Really? So you don't use it to record much of anything then? Okay. Nope. What about you, John?
Not usually. And now that I have the Zoom recorder, I tend to use that. If I don't have it, then I will use just press record.
Yeah, just press record.
A little
record.
Bit until I can get it off of the phone and onto my computer at home. So I have a couple of different options, but I like my Zoom option the best.
I agree with you on that. I think a lot of people like you have just press record or audio memo. I've used both of those in the past and continue to use that when I don't have my Zoom with me. I'm just not.
There's a new app. There's a new app out there now called Tape It, which I haven't really played with too much, but I saw something about it the other day.
Right. And that kind of came up in Apple Business this month. Is Tape It, the developer of Tape It, came on and said, hey, we have a new, not a new app, but we made this more accessible for all of you to use. And some of the thing it benefits is has stereo recording and things like that. But that kind of bothers me a little bit. I mean, I love, and don't get me wrong, I love it when the developers come to Apple Viz and give us another option. I just can't see any use for Tape It because, one, it's a subscription if you want to take advantage of stereo. And I'm thinking, man, a lot of these free apps out there already take advantage of stereo. And if that's your biggest feature, that's the biggest reason why you want to do that.
Well, and they don't give you higher quality during the test phase. You have to pay for it in order to get the higher quality. And I want to know what that sounds like before I subscribe.
Right. So. And the other thing, too, is that, John, as I heard about Tape It, is that all your recordings go into their cloud. So,
oh, really?
Yes. And a lot of people are like, well, what if we don't want to use your cloud? How about we just save it to our cloud? And they say, well, that's not an option at this point. I'm thinking, well, I was just at a loss there. And so I'm sure it's a great app, and I think some people will like it. It is an option, but it's not for me. Especially, I have to pay for stereo and higher quality that is mostly found in everything already. And then you have to use their iCloud. I was just like, no, thank you. I didn't even bother playing with it at all. But have to it. But anyway, the voice memo. Yeah, I don't use voice memo all that much. I just feel like it's a little clunky for me compared to other ones. And putting this into Notes, holy smokes. Now you got folders and you got different things. I think it's kind of a cool idea, but nonetheless, it's one of the new options that we can expect in iOS 18. So Notes will now get voice recording within Notes along with math equations. Now, I think that's going to be out of our realm too. But nonetheless, maps. Interestingly, the maps, guys, you'd be able to customize your own route. I was like, I didn't realize we couldn't customize our own route now. I just really never put two and two. We have different options of route that they want you to use. But now you can customize your own route, and they have some other option. And this is kind of funny. Calculator, they're going to kind of soup up the calculator to be the super powerful calculator. And I didn't realize calculator was never on the iPad, so it's now going to be on iPad. So we got a new calculator with new things into it. It's also going to have a little history in there, so you can see previous calculation you've done, things like that. Safari is going to get to more kind of a browser assistant. That they did not explain what that means either. We got Photos update to Photos, fitness apps, and lastly, Mail. Now, I'm more excited to see what they mean when they did, they're going to do a rehaul of Mail, because I think Mail could use a significant uplift and modernize with filters and stuff like that, I hope. So are you guys, what are the ones I mentioned? Any of those excite you at all or not?
Mail probably would be the most exciting right. For me.
So you use the standard in-app Mail?
Right.
Yeah. And do you, Mike?
I do, but I never mess with the filters. Like I try, I'm a Mail minimalist and I just want what's new today. Get rid of any, I don't care about your ads or promotions, like filter, unsubscribe me from dumb stuff. And I just want the important things. I hate emails. I rarely ever use it.
It's archaic, so like, right?
Yeah. In my Mail app, it does what I need. I open it. There's three, delete, 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 off. I'm done. I'm a little more intrigued by the idea of the assistant, the Safari assistant, because I've been actually messing around with the Arc browser on my phone lately, looking for something different for no good reason, but other than the fact that it's there. So I'm kind of intrigued what they're going to try to do with that. But
yeah, it's supposed to be very similar to the Arc. You're right. Which is kind of now does that. So it sounds like they're going to replace that. So obviously, it doesn't surprise me that they would take something that's already pretty useful and put it in their own. But yeah, AI is going to be the key word, no doubt. There's no doubt AI is going to be the thing with Apple for the next 2 years. We're going to hear nothing but AI from now and here on out. Now, iOS 18 will be no exception to AI is going to be discussed a lot in WWDC, and a lot of folks are still talking about having, when we get this AI stuff, it's going to be on the phone itself. So it's not going to be offline, or it's going to be out there and fetching from a server. It's going to be all run exclusively on your device, which is unbelievable, which is going to be kind of cool when I get my hands on to see what that does. However, I know there's going to be some downside, and I'll mention a few in a moment, but what this will do, it's going to be a lot faster because you don't have to call that AI over to server over the cloud, right? And so it's all done on your device. It's going to be a lot faster and privacy. And so obviously Apple, it's going to take pride and it's going to be mentioned a lot with this. It's going to be privacy because all this stuff is being done on your device only. Nobody will see or be able to gather information about it. I think that's going to be the two things you're going to hear. It runs on the device and it's private and it's faster. However, let's talk about some of the downsides. Obviously, the personal data is going to be private and things like that. So what this is going to do, the AI will run on board. And so any of your personal data, files you mess with, the photos that you've been playing with or just taking pictures of, emails, text messages, notes, and calendars, and et cetera. So in other words, think of this new AI going to take your spotlight and make it on steroids. So it's kind of essentially what we do now. If you have never played with your spotlight, go to spotlight and just type in something. It's going to fetch what it found. So this is going to be kind of enhanced. So it's going to be AI. So I think that's the promising part. But the downside of that, I think what I'm seeing and hearing is what they don't talk about. Yeah, it's going to be great that that's going to be available in some of the Siri. It's going to be more natural conversation with, like, you don't have to be so specific in keywords. And for Siri to understand, it'll be able to understand you better than ever. However, I think when it comes to general discussions, like I want to know what happened in 1972, I don't think that AI is going to be like what we know AI to be. And I think that's the downside. And that's not anything I'm hearing at all. Some people thought that when it comes to that, then it will request from whoever they decide to agree with. So right now they're talking with Google, for the Gemini and possibly the OpenAI for the ChatGPT for that. So if you have general questions, something like that, it will automatically go online and ask those servers and then come back with an answer. If that's the case, I'll be very happy as a clam, but I don't know if that's going to be played in iOS 18 early on. I'm going to guess it's not, and that's why I'm kind of mixed. And so I'm kind of, what my feeling is, I'm kind of let down a little bit from what I'm reading so far.
Hesitant optimism is, I guess, how I feel about it. Like, the rumors, the conversations about it seem to hint at exciting things, but I feel like, kind of like we often say, we'll just have to see when it comes out. It's kind of like the Apple Vision Pro. Like, there's all this kind of talk about it, and now like interest has just sort of died. So I'm hoping that this doesn't, and I'm sure it won't, because AI is very different, but I just hope that when it does come out, that it actually is something that I'm going to want to use every single day.
You know, it's so it takes the spotlight and puts on steroid. I never use Spotlight, so that's not going to be really something I would use. But however, it does mention that it still will help you and help you decide what to say to an auto response to an email and things like that, which I do use. I think that's going to be useful, and you'll be able to create images. My understanding, you might be able to create some images. Not something I would do, but just knowing that is always what it's going to do, I'm going to be disappointed. I shouldn't say that. I mean, I'm happy that the AI is taking advantage of what they have internally, but if it can't do improve Siri to a ChatGPT level, as in I can ask any question, I'm going to be really disappointed. We'll see.
Yeah.
What about you, John?
I agree. You know, I try and distance myself from all the hype that I read and hear about with the press, because that's what they do in life these days. Their life is to hype stuff. Whether it's accurate or not. And so, you know, I just wait and see, and whatever is going to happen is going to happen. And, you know, stuff sounds promising, but I don't want to be disappointed. So I just wait and see what's going to happen. And you, if it's positive, then that's great.
You rather be disappointed later than now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right.
Well, I have to be... these are just my opinions and my thoughts, and not that any of it's going to be accurate, but, you know, I just have a gut feeling that isn't going to be as what I expect. So, I think they're going to hype it a lot, and I think that's cool. But the reason I say a lot of this is because, first, we still know that the new iPhone 16 Pro, when it comes out, is going to be its own AI processors on board with a new chip. And that's got to take advantage of something. Something's got to take in place of that. So maybe in hoping that is what that's going to be for. You know, a lot of the articles mentioned that they are in conversation with Google and OpenAI for being able to tap into that for miscellaneous AIs that they aren't able to provide now. But none of those are new as a deal. So you would hear, if they made deals already, that we could see it very soon. If it's still in conversation and still being touched on, I can't see any of that happening until the end of the year. So we'll have to see. You're right. I better let myself disappoint myself now. And that way, when it does come, if it does happen, then I'll be surprised and say, oh my God, this is the greatest thing. However, I just don't want to get my hopes up too high. So,
yeah, I just wonder what we might be looking at in terms of price hikes for all of this.
Oh God,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I would think they're going to raise the price a good deal because of all the technology that they're building in. But, you know, we'll see.
Well, you know, Mike and I were talking about that last month, and I think you were gone. We were talking about, oh God, can you imagine this being a service? If you want to use this new features, it can be $10 a month.
Might be.
Possible.
It might
Siri
be.
Siri Pro.
Right?
Yeah. None of us, nobody's going to be able to afford to retire. Ever.
Ever. It'll just keep tacking on stuff to you.
Yeah.
So, oh my gosh. What are the news I've heard? Beware for people like myself that have Apple Watch Series 4. Yep, I knew this was going to be the year, and it looks like it's going to be true, but we'll have to wait until iOS, the new Watch OS comes out in June to see what qualification is and what watches will make the cut. But it sounds like the fourth generation, my friends, the fourth series is going to be cut. I had no doubt it probably would be cut. But what does surprise me about that, guys, is that the fourth and the fifth series had the identical same processor. So how could you whack off the fourth series if it's the same processor as the fifth generation? So I don't get that. So if you are going to cut off the fourth series, that makes no sense to me since you're using the same processor. So I guess that's their way of saying, yep, that's legacy. I don't care if it's still able to run it or not. It's just old now. I don't know.
Old enough.
Isn't that terrible, though? I mean, I don't know. That's just my thought. It's got the same process. Why are you doing that?
Maybe it's a situation where if you cut two of them off in the same year, it seems like a large amount of stuff that is no longer going to be able to take advantage of the upgrade. And maybe they figure if they do one at a time, people won't mind as much.
Yeah, I guess it does sound better in PR-wise to them. And that's what we got here. We got definitely a PR marketing that you don't know what you're talking about, even though it's the same processor. But it does sound better to whack off the fourth series this year and the fifth series next year instead of just both this year. All right, so on to the last conversation. That is the big slowdown for Apple. Wow. You know, all good things have to come to an end at some point. Apple cannot just keep excelling, selling, selling, and just be crazy, obnoxiously rich, okay? And they are rich. But they are starting to finally feel the pinch, and it doesn't surprise me at all. So in the next quarter revenue that comes up, I am going to be really anxious to see and watch, as it seems to be that time for Apple to start to go down. So the big slowdown is starting to occur. For example, the Vision Pro has dropped significantly below expectations. So in other words, they were not expecting it to drop so suddenly with the selling of Vision Pro. Oh, really? That's just shocking, right? It's like, you guys, I was just kind of like, are you kidding me? Originally, they were projected to sell between 700,000 to 800,000 Apple Pro devices, Vision Pro, and it turns out they lowered it down to 350,000, what they think they're going to sell for the rest of the year. So, wow, that is a big number to cut down from what they originally thought they were going to do. That didn't really surprise me. I mean, did it surprise you guys that it didn't stay strong and keep being sold out and things for the Vision Pro?
Doesn't surprise me at all. But, you know, I've got a bias in that I can't use it. So for me, for sighted people, though, that's a lot of money.
It is, right?
What you get for it.
Right. It's still expensive. And I think everybody's still kind of mixed on it. I think they realize that price is pretty steep. Even though I love my Apple and I know it's probably mind-boggling, but that price is hard to swallow for anybody, sighted or not or whatnot. And I just think that the price is what's hurting them more than anything else. I know they probably are expecting to release this to the world real soon to other countries besides the United States. I still think the expectation is going to be low. Of course, the demand will spike as they do release them, but you know, there's only so many people that are going to take advantage of that. So I think with the Vision Pro being lower than they expected, plus, wow, the iPhones, this was surprising. I didn't think it would be that dramatic, but the activation or the selling of the iPhone 15 is at a 6-year low. So they are definitely not selling iPhones 16 as they 15 as they expected. So that kind of surprised me in a way or not, but that also kind of shows you that a lot of people are okay keeping their phones for more years and not updating like they used to. So it seems like it's getting more and more people are starting to fall in line with that concept. And I don't know, 6-year low. What do you guys think of that?
When I was working with Disney, we always talked about building the value of a product. And if people don't feel like they're getting some major new features every year or the product is going to be worth it, they're not going to spend the money for it. Now, whether AI will be enough to make people want to get the new phone when it comes out, you know, we shall see. But there haven't been a lot of jaw-dropping, eye-opening features in the last few years, really, to make people. I mean, I do it because I like the speed and so forth, but I probably won't upgrade until I see something that's really going to be special with a feature-driven phone, partially because I'm retired now. But even if I was working, you know, there comes a time when how much can you really afford and is it worth it?
I agree with you, John, is that, you know, everything has to come to a point, and you're right. There hasn't been that many new features over the past few years, not enough to justify to upgrade. Now, I mean, even 2 or 3 years ago, it doesn't seem like it's all that much. The only thing that's beneficial for a lot of people to update is the battery. So if your batteries start to go waning down, you know, my wife was just mentioning how less battery charge. She's like, oh, I guess it's time. And she still has the 12. So yeah, and I can see why you would, but she's not impressed by the processors or anything like that. There's nothing really significant for her. And I agree with a lot of people with this. So I think Apple is finally starting to feel the pinch a little bit. It's not a bad thing. It just means a reality check. And I think this is pretty normal and standard feelings to have. And that's all, no doubt. What's new in Apple Viz, Mr. John and Mike? So this month in Apple Viz, let's see what we got here. So one of the big things that came up this month is the Envision AI beta tester. So the folks from Envision has come on to Apple Viz asking for people to sign up for their new Envision AI app. So it's a separate app from their original Envision app. I don't know if they're going to keep it separated. It seems like it sounds like they want to keep it separated for now. Whether that will be combined at some point, I don't know. Interesting enough, there is beta testers. So if you're interested in a beta test, come on in and sign up for that. I am on that. Are you using the Envision AI?
Yeah, I got on it at CSUN, and it's not a separate app. Well, for me, it's not a separate app right now. It's still on the main app. Now, they may move it to its own separate app. But for me, it's one of the tabs on my Envision app. And I really like it. I think they've done a nice job with it. You've got your own assistant, and they literally ask you questions so that the assistant knows what interests you, and you can pick your own voice. A lot of voices to choose from.
Oh, yes, a lot of voices.
I think I choose your voice, Thomas, when I signed up.
I know. My voice is just incredible. You got to pick Tom, and Thomas is a long time. I mean, that's
absolutely.
Just no, you're right. The voices that they have on are incredible. It's like, oh my gosh, these voices are great. Yeah, you have to fill out your own bio, a little bit about yourself. And then it has like an interest area where like, what do you want your assistant to know? As in, do you want it to be very descriptive? Do you want it to have an opinion? What kind of a personality do you want that? It's really interesting how they did that. I don't know. Do you find it to be pretty verbose, like it really can be really too much sometimes?
Well, it can be, but then you can adjust that too in the settings to have short, concise answers versus verbose. So I tend to have pretty short answers, basically. And I can always go back in there and change that if I want to. But I really like what they've done with the app. They've done a nice job.
It is pretty cool. Do you feel like it gives you just as much detail as Be My Eyes?
Yes, I do.
Whoa, really? And
yeah. Because you can make it more detailed if you need to. And I like what Iris done with their app as well. So, I mean, everybody's done a nice job with the AI tool in terms of building them into their apps.
Right. Now, the only thing I saw that kind of concerned me a little bit of red flag, was that somebody asked, I said, is this going to be permanently free? And they said at that point they could not answer that question at this time. They're hoping to be able to monetize it like the Be My AI has done, is that they found sponsors and other people to support that usage for AI, because that is not free to use. And so it makes me think, could it? And it's possible. You can't say it won't be, because they weren't able to definitely say it will never be that way. So it makes me wonder at some point when it comes out of beta, if you want to use the AI, it's going to charge you more for that services and you have a new subscription. What do you think of that?
Could be. Because they're already they're doing subscriptions in other areas as well. So it's possible. But I don't think they really know yet, because even the app itself is the assistant is really, it's not even at the introductory beta stage. It's very, very young.
Right.
And so it's going to be a while before they get it to the point where they'll release it to everybody and mm-hmm. take it out of beta. It's going to be a while.
I did get an invitation, so I have been using it. It's interesting. Some of the things I've noticed right off the bat is that you're not able to share photos or anything. So it's kind of like it's as in the moment now only. So you can only take photos now. So it's not something you can take photos and Facebook or whatever not. You have to take what it is unless you've got Facebook up on your computer on the screen. You take a picture of that, I suppose it'll work. But nonetheless, that doesn't work. And the other thing I noticed, it does not do people. So if it detects any people in the photo, it will not describe the people in any form or shape. You can't even ask for color of the shirt or anything like that.
Yeah, and I wish that would change too, because I think that's ridiculous. We are so absorbed with privacy these days, it's taken it way too far.
Right, and so there's some drawbacks. Unfortunately, at this point, I still think the Be My AI is still the best hands down when it comes to that. There's no limitations or anything like that, and it's completely free. So we'll see. So if you are interested, come to, I'll put it in the show note where you can go to that that particular form post and read where you can sign in and apply for a beta. Right now there is a waiting list, so be patient. It's one of those they are going to slowly release it to other people.
And Be My AI has been around a lot longer in terms of what they're doing with AI. So, you know, comparatively speaking, Envision is just getting into that area with the assistant. So mm-hmm. it's going to be a while before they're able to add new features, but they tend to add things pretty quickly. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I think both companies are very good at what they do. And so I think there's a lot of good choice there for people.
Yeah, we'll see. I'd be really curious if they end up charging for that. Mm-hmm. The other major conversation is these Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses. These, I will admit, John, these are very appealing to me. A lot of people are saying the same thing. I mean, for $399, you get the hardware, and some of the demonstrations I've heard are very impressive. Now, what really makes this shine is that they have just recently opened up their OS for the Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses, meaning that they are now going to open up the OS that third-party people can come in. So if Be My AI or Scene AI or Aira and other companies decide to take up that OS, wow. If you could get all those onto a $399 headset, that's a no-brainer. I would probably purchase one, but I would not purchase one until I know that those companies, I mean, those are the big ones that I would need or want. Although it has a pretty darn good AI on it now. It does read text, it checks for colors, and it reads the products and stuff like that. And you can ask questions about the product with the cooking instructions. It has a lot of those already built in, but nonetheless, these are something to watch. So mm-hmm. even though there's Envision 8 out there and Celeste out there, those are great pair of glasses. They do a lot more, but watch out. I really think when we start to hear more about it, I'll let you all know. But have you been following that as well?
Not as much, but I should.
You should look into it. I know you're an Envision guy, 100% into it, and you own a pair, so I get that. So it does a pretty decent job. You know, I really like these Ray-Bans just because the look of the glasses look a little more normal. I don't know why that bothers me more than anything else. I just, this appearance thing is kind of a big deal for me. Now, I know I shouldn't let that bother me, but it just seems like when I wear them, I don't want everybody to be like, oh, what is he wearing? What is he looking? He's looking at me. I just feel like I just want to be included in the environment. I don't want to stand out. Maybe that's a personal problem or something, but
nothing wrong with that.
So, Mike, have you heard about or been following this new Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses?
I've heard a little bit about it. I don't honestly, and I was going to ask earlier with the ones that you have, John, like, are they even like, because Thomas, you're saying you don't use those because they're noticeable. I don't even know what those are about. So like, I vaguely kind of know about this stuff, but details, not very much of it. Mostly because this hasn't really been something that I've felt like there's a need for in my life. But I don't know, it could change.
Yeah, well, how would you explain the Envision glasses? Do you feel like they are futuristic? There are things that kind of protrude out and just kind of, that would be noticeable, man. It would turn heads.
Well, the camera might be noticeable, but most people have seen, they're Google glasses. So most people have seen the Google glasses. So they're aware of what those
sunglasses
look like.
With a camera.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what most of these others are as well. But, you know, maybe they're a little bit different in the way that they're manufactured. I don't know.
Low profile, still, I feel like, would be nice. But I mean, like we've kind of been talking about, I remember when Google Glass was first coming out, privacy was like, everyone was really terrified about the idea of being recorded without any knowledge or without something obvious making them aware of it. So there's a whole other series of problems wrapped up in that whole concept.
Yeah. I know that the Ray-Ban ones, they have a light that comes on. So if you're recording or taking anything, the people will know. So they have an indicator on the outside that does that. I don't know if Google Glasses does that or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I don't know. The biggest thing, though, Mike, is that it's a $399 price point. And if it opens up the OS and that allows us to be able to use Aira, Be My Eyes, and those sort of things, that might change my tune. The only reason I'm turned off with the others is either because it's just very costly per month, or there's a big upfront purchase. And I just, not a big fan of shelling out $3,000 for something like that. And especially if it's something I don't think I'll use all that much, but for $399, I might take the leap.
I probably would. If it was just that one-time purchase. But like I said, like this, there, it's not a thing for me in my life that I would use enough to make a subscription worth it.
Right. But, you know, some people say, yeah, but think about this, is that if you're on the Celeste or the Envision, I don't know about the Envision, but the Celeste glasses, you pay $50 a month. And when there is a new model, you get that new pair. So you don't have to pay anything more. Where the Ray-Ban, if this is the third model, and if the fourth model comes out, obviously you will have to buy up a new model. And that's okay with me for the price point. How is Envision like that? So if you purchase that glasses and they get a new model, I think they mentioned that they'll give you a discount, but it'll still be kind of hefty.
Well, they've never really said for sure because they haven't been in that position where it's imminent, but I'm sure that there would be a discounted upgrade price to the new model. We'll see.
If you were able to get everything you could get out of Envision that are on the so-called Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses, would you dump your Envision for this?
I might. It just depends on what they give you.
Right.
And they're so new, I'm kind of waiting to see what they're all about before I would ever make a decision like that.
Well, sure. Yeah. It's definitely a minimum a year out. I have to see more stuff come out for it before I would take that leap. I mean, I would not purchase it right now.
Personally, I would love an SE version of one of these headsets. Like something that doesn't have all the bells and whistles. I don't want like the best possible thing out there. Give me just like an entry model to play with. That'd be
fun. That's the sad part is that the Vision Pro is not due to have a new model for another 2 years. And there is no sign of any lower cost model light version in that time frame. So we're years away before that happens. So it's kind of like they're missing the ball. If I own this glasses, I more than likely probably won't purchase the Apple one if it did come out. It just depends what it can do. Anyway, so that's what's going on in AppleViz. And closing out, the only thing I have to talk about is I have taken the leap from Audacity. A lot of people don't know that a lot of the editing that I do for podcasts in this podcast is using Audacity, which is a DAW, a digital audio workstation. So it's kind of a software that I use. I've taken the leap to Reaper. A lot of people have been boasting about Reaper, and I took the plunge, and I absolutely love it. Jeez, it is a steep learning curve. I will say that it has been nothing but a lot of frustration and headaches, but I'm getting more used to it, and the things I can do with it, it's just mind-boggling. It's just
Have you switched
so cool.
entirely?
I have switched About 90% of it, yes. Almost there. Nice. There's a few things I still can't figure out how to do. Audio ducking is one of them. That's the only thing left. Everything else is done all on my Reaper. I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
I need to mess with it more. It is, like you were saying, though, powerhouse. I started digging into it, and I was like, whoa. Maybe this summer when kids aren't in school and things are, we'll see. But, man, it's substantial, which is awesome because it's only $60.
$60, and the plugins that you can purchase for it are all mind-boggling. I got an AI plugin that strips out everything in the background and is unbelievable. It takes out the breath and any computer noises is gone. It's totally gone. It's like, whoa, that's so cool. I've gotten some warm toner that kind of beefs up my radio kind of a voice I like. So that comes into it. So it's real time. So as soon as I record, it does it automatically. It's really cool.
So what you're saying is the three of us sound better than ever on the final recording.
Exactly. So when you hear this podcast, it's all done in Reaper and it's going to sound improved, new and improved.
Good to know.
New and improved. So what's going on with you, Mike? Anything you want to share with us?
I do, actually. I'm going to recommend a TV show on Netflix called Baby Reindeer. Came out kind of recently. I don't know if anyone's heard of this.
Never heard of it.
It's good. I don't want to spoil it. It has to do with stalkers and uncomfortable situations. Give it a look. Supposedly, I will throw this out there, based on a true story, but one of the people that is portrayed in the show is talking about filing lawsuits because of how they were portrayed. So,
whoa. So what is this on? What platform?
Netflix.
Netflix. Okay. I will look that up. Good show. Okay. How about you, Mr. John? Anything cool to report, to talk about? We can talk about Disney. We can do anything you want.
No, nothing really major that I can think of. I'm considering getting Netflix. We'll see, because there's some stuff on there I'd like to see, but I've not taken the plunge yet to do that. But I keep hearing it's accessible, so might be looking into that.
It's worth getting for a couple months and then dive out. There's plenty to to dive into. If that's something that you like to spend time doing, it's wonderful. We don't have Netflix at this time, but as soon as Stranger Things comes out, I will be back on it.
Absolutely. We just pulled the trigger on HBO, so we've been going down HBO rabbit hole lately.
That Max is full of great stuff, just like Netflix. There's tons of stuff in there, too. Yep. All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much for coming back. It's good to have you back, John. And this is going to wrap up for AppleViz Unleashed for April 2024. And all my confusion of what year this was. Anyway, my name is Thomas Donville, also known as Nanomouse, along here with John Gassman and Mike Malarcy. And we'll see you next month. Take care. Bye-bye.
Please feel free to contact the AppleViz Unleashed team with a feedback, tips, or questions at unleashed@appleviz.com. This AppleViz podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleViz.com for the latest in resources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your Apple device. Visit www.appleviz.com.